Let us pray for the reading of God's precious word. Father, your word is a gift to us, a precious gift. Lord Jesus, the spoken word, became flesh so that we would see someone walking in the fullness of your word, someone who was and is the word. And now as we read your word, we touch Jesus, Lord, for he is the word. And may we with great expectation hear it. And Holy Spirit, may you give us the grace to apply it to our lives. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Scripture today comes from John 3. Verses 1 through 21. That's found on page 1649 in the Pew Bibles. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe me. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Bob. Some say that there are two kinds of people in the world, the lost and the found. Think about that for a minute, the lost and the found. Not good and bad, but the lost and the found. Because some of the found are not good people. They're becoming good people. So just these two categories, I think, are enough. And they do speak truth when they say that. Today we will talk about the question, what about the lost? Last week I talked about the purpose of God for the found. You, me, which is to be what? If you remember, to be transformed. And I reminded you that if God's purpose would have been just to save us, then we would have died in that moment. The purpose is fulfilled. Come on to heaven. That's not what happens, right? So the purpose is for those who are found to begin a process called sanctification in theology, which simply means transformed, changed into the image of Christ. I don't know about you, but one of the prayers that I pray a lot throughout the years is the prayer that we find in the book of John, spoken by John. Let me decrease, O God, that you may increase. You see, in order for him to increase, you have to decrease. You can't just fit the same liquid in a cup. The one that's in it has to go out, right? It's just simple. So the purpose of the found is to be transformed. I talked about that last week at length, into the image of Christ. Last week, we were also reminded about the work, this work that the Spirit of God is doing to prepare us to meet Jesus for the great day. We are not saved just to go to heaven, but to be changed, I reminded you, and transformed to look more like Jesus. But what about the lost? Well, Luke 19:10 says that, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Some of the lost have been found. Again, that's you and me. We have been found. But what about those who are still out there, lost? God wants to save many, many, many more people. In fact, you want to know a secret that the Bible tells us? He's delaying the second coming of Christ. Jesus doesn't even know exactly when that's going to be. If you remember that, he's delaying it so that more people will come into the kingdom. More people will come into the kingdom. So God wants to save many more people and give them new life. He wants to transform them also, as he's doing with us, into the image of Jesus. In today's passage that Bob read, we see Nicodemus, a teacher of the law, that came to Jesus at night, kind of hiding. He was probably hoping not to get in trouble with the Pharisees because he was coming to this teacher that was not part of the ruling board of the Pharisees. And he begins a conversation with Jesus, right? Now, this is really, really appropriate to preach on this Sunday. And this is all orchestrated by God, believe me. Because we're going to have a training on conversational evangelism next week. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus and begins a conversation. Now, the conversation is a little awkward because one of the things he says is, first, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him. So here's Jesus' response. Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. Like, what? You know, what happened is Jesus was in tune with his spirit, with Nicodemus's heart. And that's all that conversational evangelism is about. You will learn that it has to do with being in tune with the needs of that person, the heart of that person, and addressing that with what you have, which is Jesus, which is the wisdom of God, the power of God, the amazing mercy of God, all the good stuff that comes with Jesus. You have that available. You have that to offer. So he knew, knowing that this man is looking for truth, He doesn't really address what he's saying about, you know, he says, we all know that you come from God because of the miracles that you're doing. And then Jesus says, well, let me address what's really behind that. He's in tune. Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And he begins to plant that little seed of truth. And the conversation continues. And Jesus continues to give more and more revelation. That's conversational evangelism. You can study this passage so that you're ready for next week's training. So, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And then Jesus tells him something that would resonate for ages to come. It's resonating in our world today, and that's verse 16, the famous John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only, one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He gives him another truth for his search. Obviously, he could see in Nicodemus. You know, this conversational evangelism that we'll talk about next week more in detail is really about being in tune with the Spirit of God, the need of the person who is lost, putting our faith in God to open our lips and speak, and trusting that that person has the Holy Spirit nudging them into this conversation. So conversational evangelism, for those who are afraid, as Pat said the first time, she was like, nope. Conversational evangelism involves many more factors than just you talking to people. That'll take the burden off of your shoulders. It involves the Holy Spirit. It involves the truth, the Word of God. It's not you. God doesn't say, ta-ta, out you go. Go do what I told you to do. He says, let's go do this together. I will work. I will tell you what to say. I will give you discernment so you can be in tune. And that's what we see in this passage. So here's this great truth that Jesus is revealing to Nicodemus, which would resonate. What? For God so loved the world, not just only the Jews? The world, the whole, even the Gentiles? God so loved the world that what? Now remember, Jesus had not been crucified at this point. So this is a prophecy of what is to come, that Jesus would be given, put to death, so that we can have eternal life. The Word of God should be a part of conversational evangelism. You don't even have to say this is a verse. I often just sneak in those truths without saying the Bible says. Just sneak the truth in, because the truth will set people what? Free. Yes, God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son to die for everyone who is lost. I know you know a lot of people who are lost. I heard one time one person say, I don't have a lot of interaction with the lost, though. Just go shopping, go to the grocery store. And you will, or just walk in your neighborhood. And if you're not sure that a person is saved, consider them lost. It's better to err on that side. So this is one of the verses that we are most familiar with, right? John 3:16. But have you ever paid attention to the one that comes after that? Or two verses after that? Verse 18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Let me say that again. Stands condemned already. That should make us have a sense of urgency. They're damned, in other words, already, these people that have not believed. Their destiny is sort of sealed unless Jesus comes and removes that damnation away from them. So verse 18, again, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. That's who the lost are. That's who the lost are. That's the group of people who is not going to heaven so far. You can do something about it. You can do something about it. This verse tells us that whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Does that concern you in any way? It should. Many people you know are in this category. Many people you know are right in this category. So, risk it. Even if you look like a fool, aren't you willing to be a fool for Christ? Don't you trust that his word is powerful enough when he said, my word will not come back void? Trust it. Trust the word of God. Every article that I can think of that I wrote for the paper, for been writing for 10 years now, or for the M Live or whatever other, I don't even remember where they published them. Every one of them, I would build it, my answer, around one verse. And I thought, if this is the only verse they will ever read, at least they will read this verse. I wanted to make sure that my argument, my response, was built around that one verse. And as you know, I saved some of the messages I got on my landline. Many pastors congratulating me for speaking truth, but I know many people who are like, somebody stop that woman from writing. Listen, we have been found. But what about the lost? Some of you have been asking in this time of troubled waters that our church has been going through. Some of you have been asking to consistory members and other people, what are we doing to improve the numbers of our church? What are we doing? So I'm asking you today, what are you doing about it? Because this is not just my job. This is not just consistory's job. This is your job. What are you doing? What are you doing about it? As a church, we have been praying about all this. And as a result, we agreed to give next Sunday to someone who will train those who are willing and open in conversational evangelism, the type of evangelism that Jesus is practicing with Nicodemus. This is an opportunity for you to contribute to the work of the church in this way, using your talents, your listening ears, your love, and your mercy. As I said, it's not just my job or the job of the elders and deacons of this church to do the work of the church. This is your church. You are God's child and God's servant. And we all have been called to the task of reaching the lost. This is why in Matthew, Jesus left these instructions, not just for his disciples, but for us to follow. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, of all Conklin and its surroundings, since you can't go to Europe or to South America or to Africa. Do it here. There's no excuse. Go next door. Go across the street. Go two blocks to the right or to the left. This passage is known as a Great Commission, and it reminds us all of the call of Jesus to reach out to the lost and help them find their way to God. This is our responsibility. And we're not doing it alone. God is with us. God is with us. See it as an adventure with God. Verses 19 through 21, it's sad to see it, but this is the truth that we live in, the world that we live in. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. How many people do you know that need to hear this truth? How many people need to come into the light and find out that they're not going to be zapped by God for their sin, but instead forgiven and cleansed and made holy? How many people do you think need to hear that? Let me just give you one final thought about this passage, and you can study it at home because it is conversational evangelism. Verse 11. Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify of what we have seen. That's it. That's all we need to do. We need to testify to others of what we know and what we have seen. Conversational evangelism does not require a PhD in theology. It just requires that you're willing to share what you know about God and what you've seen God do. That's it. Don't change the way you speak when you speak to strangers. Use the same language. Praise God. God is good. I pray. I recognize. I give the glory to God. Whatever else is language that you use with Christians, don't change. I love it. I just love what it says. We speak of what we know, and we testify of what we have seen. It should not be intimidating because you know God. It should be a reason to be filled with joy that you get to share with people about your best friend and what he's done for you. The many, many ways that he has surprised you with unexpected blessings. I want you to hear God speaking to you today. I want you to know how important it is that you share with people that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, as verse 16 says, but to save the world through him. But I don't want you to stop there. I want you to share also how difficult it may be, verse 18, that whosoever does not believe in him stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. The call is urgent because the time is near. The Lord is coming. I want you to hear what God is saying to you today as we pray. I want you to hear him say to you, what about the lost? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have been found. But what about those who have not yet been found? Do we care? And if so, what is our responsibility? We're willing to learn all that. We're willing to hear about it afresh. And we're willing to stand in the gap. We're willing to testify, to share with others about what we know and what we have seen. We're willing, Father, to be made uncomfortable. How silly, Lord, that we would even be thinking twice about being made uncomfortable for you when you died on the cross for us. Help us to be brave and courageous. And Father, as the great Keith Green song says, awake in the church that is sleeping in the light, so that we can finish the work that has been begun by great men and women of God who have gone before us. These things we pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.